NATO's Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen said today that President Obama's announcement last night that he'll draw down all 33,000 surge troops from Afghanistan by the end of next summer reflects the progress the NATO alliance has made there. After the Obama announcement, French President Nicolas Sarkozy said France would also pull its 4,000 troops out of Afghanistan on the same staggered timeline as the U.S. Of the other major U.S. NATO allies, Germany hasn't settled on a plan to pull its 4,900 troops out yet, but Britain says its 10,000 troops will be out by at least 2015. So is this, as the Secretary General said, a success for NATO? Our next guest says no. Sarwar Kashmiri is a senior fellow at the think tank The Atlantic Council. His new book is NATO 2.0, Reboot or Delete. He joins us from the Dartmouth College studio. Sarwar, welcome.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
And let's start by reminding people, you've been involved in sort of a back and forth on NATO in the New York Times opinion pages. We'll get to that. But, you know, you remind us it was originally a Cold War alliance. So for those just sort of tuning in, what is NATO? When did it start? Who's in it?
NATO started around 1949 with a dozen or 13 largely Western European members. It has grown since then to 28 members that include Central and Eastern European countries. And its purpose in life was to keep the Russians out, the Germans down, and the Americans in. Mm-hmm. Since the end of the Cold War, NATO has been left without any clear purpose, and it's been trying to find its way around.
Well, its defenders would say that it's doing that rather well, and this is part of this ongoing debate. Ivo Dalder, who's the U.S. permanent representative to NATO, says the alliance is more needed than ever. He cites more than 150,000 NATO troops participating in six NATO operations on three continents. In Afghanistan, a NATO-led force made up of troops from 48 countries to help build security. And currently in Libya, 17 allies and partner nations taking on a new responsibility, helping the Libyan people determine their destiny. You say what?
The fact of the matter is that NATO doesn't command the forces in Afghanistan. The Americans do. NATO's command would never be acceptable to the American command structure. And if you look at Libya, that gives you a good idea of how NATO runs the show. Requests for help from the ground in Libya go to the NATO command center in Italy, in Naples. From there, they go to the political and military committees in Brussels, and then they come back to Naples, and then they come back to the airplanes. And so this huge command structure and the fact that in 3 months of fighting, NATO has run out of ammunition. They are not able to use American bombs on the attack aircraft. So the idea that NATO is this fearsome alliance is rather surreal. As far as the Balkans are concerned, they've been trying to stabilize this tiny part of Europe for 20 years, and it's still not stabilized. So this is kind of wishful thinking.
Well, in fact, outgoing Defense Secretary Robert Gates scolded NATO forces who seem to be bogged down in Libya, as you said, warning the alliance that they face a dim, if not dismal, future, even irrelevant. You seem to be saying they're already headed there, the title of your book, Reboot or Delete. What do you say, reboot or delete?
Oh, I clearly say reboot, because NATO as a brand name is extremely valuable for Americans and Europeans. They consider it as a shield of last resort. And what most people don't realize is that the Europeans have, in the last 10 years, developed an in-house military establishment, which has a very mixed-up name, if you will. It's called the Common Security and Defense Policy. Mm. But this is an increasingly potent military alliance under which the Europeans have sent 27 civilian and military missions from Asia to Africa, including 3,700 people, brigade to the center of Africa. The naval force that the EU runs under the Common Security Defense Policy is twice the size of NATO. And so what I am recommending is that NATO be bridged to CSDP to let the Europeans share their part of the burden. But let the Europeans be responsible for their own security and that of their periphery. And if I may just very quickly add that the European Union spends today $300 billion on its defense. That was pretty close to America's defense budget prior to 9/11. So where I differ from Mr. Gates is the Europeans are spending enough money, they're just not spending it wisely and not eliminating duplication and so on.
Well, is one of the problems that this alliance that was formed in the Cold War doesn't have that Cold War anymore? I mean, as you write, many in European countries still fear Russia. Western countries fear it less so. And as we have seen in Afghanistan, not every member of the alliance has the same skin in the game. So you tell a story of an officer from a NATO country leading a convoy in Afghanistan. An American asks him to do something, and he says, no, I'm not paid. I'm paid for a set of hours, and then my day's done. And the American says, wait, we're at war. And he says, you're at war. I'm not at war. So is there going to be the possibility of the kind of alliance that could spring up, you know, post-World War II, anymore, unless there is some sort of global sense that everyone has the same skin in the game?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. The Europeans are pretty much taking over their own destiny. Through the European Union, the integrated Europe is vastly different than when NATO was founded. When I researched my book, I asked all the Europeans, so if there was a major threat to Europe today, you'd be able to handle it. And they said, of course we'd be able to handle it if we had the will. And it's my position that they will never acquire that will as long as there is an American credit card that underwrites their defense and security, as we've had in place since the end of the Second World War. It is also damaging to the wider transatlantic alliance. The European-American alliance is responsible for 14 million jobs, for $3 trillion in sales generated. What good does it do for American officials to be constantly going to Europe and saying, you're not spending enough, spend more? It's time to recalibrate this European-American transatlantic security equation. We've transformed the G8 into the G20. Why not NATO?
Sarwar Kashmiri, his new book is NATO 2.0, Reboot or Delete. You can read a chapter at herenow.org. He is a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, also a fellow at the Foreign Policy Association, and a guest on the program. And we thank you for that, Sarwar.
Thank you so much for having me.